This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm looking at powerful prayer warriors this morning.
Amen.
Amen. You guys are becoming more powerful in your prayers. Amen. I believe that because your prayer life is important to your faith life.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Your prayer life is in direct connection to your faith life. Amen. And I'm telling you, we ought to always be praying and never faint. Amen. So we need to be praying. And we've been taking the Lord's Prayer and we've been breaking it down and looking at different aspects of the Lord's Prayer and how we can, you know, pray the different aspects of the Lord's Prayer in our prayer time. How many people out here have a prayer time? Glory to God. Amen. Don't all raise your hand at once. Amen. We all need a prayer time. Glory to God. We all need time where we spend time in prayer with God. Now, you can pray all day long. You don't have to have a specific spot that you pray in, like a prayer closet. But I would just encourage you to get in a habit of praying. And I like what it says here in Luke 11, 1 through 4. It says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" Now, I want to focus. Last week, we focused on a little bit on lead us not into temptation. But I want to focus more on my message this morning, deliver us from evil. And before I go into that part of my message, I want to just recap on the series. So just to remind you and bring up some new information that I may not have said during the series. And really, in when we get into prayer, Jesus said in the first stanza, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And, you know, I know I don't want to be beating a dead horse, but we need to be praising God.
Amen.
We need to be worshiping God. And I'm telling you, there's power in praise. And there's an attitude of praise that I want to get through to you this morning. That praise is not just singing songs.
Amen.
I'm going somewhere this morning. There's more than just singing songs. There's an attitude of praise that you need to put on. You need to put on your praise garment.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You need to start praising God from the heart, glory to God. Even if your flesh doesn't feel like it. Amen. Sometimes we don't feel like praising God because we're dealing with issues and situations in our life. But you got to push through the flesh and praise God. Amen. And so I want to focus on this because praise, I really believe, can bring the miracles of God in our lives.
Amen.
So you can never discount praise. That's one of the things we are going to be doing and they're doing in heaven right now. They're praising God 24/7. The angels are praising God. I was reading in the book of Revelation, there are 24 throne rooms, thrones around the throne room of God with 24 elders, and they all bow down and throw their crowns at the feet of God. Amen? And there's praise going on in heaven. So I hope there's praise going on in your hearts.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to be grumbling and complaining. And so praise brings miracles. Let me focus on this story quickly. It's in Luke 17. It says, "Then he entered a certain village," talking about Jesus, Luke 17, 12 through 13, working our way down. "Then he entered in a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" I'm telling you, if you're dealing with any sickness, a prayer of mercy is a good prayer to pray. God, have mercy on me. If you know anybody that's dealing with issues in their life pertaining to their relationship with the Lord, pray that God will have mercy on them. Mercy is powerful. So they asked for mercy, glory to God. And so it goes on and says, they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, dropping down to verse 15, with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So out of the 10 lepers, 10 were healed. One noticed that he was healed and came to Jesus, and notice his posture. He glorified God with a loud voice. I'm going to say this. It's okay to get loud in your praise.
Amen.
It's okay. Some people say God, you know, God's not hard of hearing, but he's not nervous either.
Amen.
God may not be hard of hearing, but he isn't nervous. And I really think it thrills the heart of God for you to get loud in your praise. And we see here that this man with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Amen. He wasn't even a covenant man. He was so thankful. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered, and wasn't there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Now, when you have leprosy, this is a disease that causes things to fall off, your body parts to fall off. It eats your flesh up. And so the other 9 could have been healed. The leprosy normally turns your skin white, and maybe it cleared up. Their skin cleared up, but maybe they still had, you know, effects of the disease. Here, when he worshiped Jesus, he said, your faith has made you whole, which I believe the things that were taken off was put back. Glory to God. In other words, something can affect your life, but God can remove even the smell of smoke from your lives.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that today? Amen. I like what the Young's Littler translation says. And he said to him, as he risen be, go on, thy faith has saved thee. And so not only made thee whole, but this man, I believe, put his faith and trust in Jesus, not only got healing, but got saved. Glory to God. That's even better than healing. Glory to God. Because I'd rather be saved. Amen. I want both healing and salvation. But if I have to pick one, I pick salvation over healing any day of the week. Amen. And so this is powerful because he glorified God with a loud voice. And he bowed down and gave thanks. My question to you, do you glorify God with a loud voice? Do you praise him and get boisterous with your praise? And do you ever bow down to the Lord? Do you ever bow down and worship God? And I'm telling you, if you have the ability to bow down, I want to encourage you, if you want your faith to go to the next level, start bowing down. Maybe sometimes I get up in the morning. As soon as I get out of bed, I drop on my knees and I start worshiping God.
Praise God.
Because I thank him for another new day that I was able to get out of bed. Glory to God. And sometimes I'm dropping on my knees just worshiping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think that's a good practice to have. Because I know I'm nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only reason why I'm in a sound mind is for Jesus. It's because of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we can't do anything. Now in Psalms 95, 1 and 2, it says this way, oh, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Notice in this psalm it says shout a couple times. And I'm telling you, we need to be shouting joyfully. And then in Psalms 95 verse 6 it says, come let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So I really believe as we shout joyfully to the Lord and as we bow humbly before the Lord, God will start doing miracles in our lives. You believe that today?
Hallelujah.
I believe that today. Then we focused on the second part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We discovered that God wants his kingdom to come to be done in every person on this planet. And his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants the Holy Spirit invading every person on this planet. Do you believe that today? And so we discovered in God's will, we want to be praying that our loved ones get saved. I believe there's two keys to God's will. Number one, that people get saved, that we need to be praying for our loved ones every day. We need to pray for God's mercy and the gift of repentance to be put on their lives. We need to pray that people would be sent to minister to them. And that could be through a lot of different ways. That could be through the TV. That could be through the internet. But just pray that they will start hearing people of God to move them closer to God. And then we can take authority and break the power of the devil off their lives. Because you have authority. Somebody say, I have authority. Amen. And the second key, and I didn't really focus that much on God's will pertaining to this part, but God wants every person to bear good fruit. If you want to know what the will of God is for your life, it's to bear good fruit in your life. In John 15:8, it says, but my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. What does that mean, to bear much fruit? That means you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, and self-control. I don't know if I got them all or not. Amen. And we got most of them. Amen. Goodness, meekness, kindness, and self-control. And so God wants us, you know, he wants fruit being born out of our lives, and us bearing fruit of goodness and kindness and love and joy should be a magnet that draws people to us, and then we can reveal the love of Jesus to others. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love what Jesus said in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I'm going to say this, God has chose you. You didn't really choose him. He chose you. He chose you to be here this morning because he has a plan and he has a purpose for each one of your lives. You are chosen. Amen. Now, you're not the frozen chosen. Uh-huh. Amen. You're not the frozen. You are chosen of God. And he chose us and pointed us that we should go and bear fruit. So that's his number two will for us, is to bear good fruit. And he says, and this is powerful, because when we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, what's going to happen? You're going to have answered prayer. Because the only way you can bear fruit is to abide in the vine. And if you're abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word, glory to God, and his word's abiding in you, guess what? You can ask whatever you want, and it will be granted to you. Because you'll be in the Word. You won't ask something that God doesn't want you to have. You will always ask what God wants you to have, because it will always be a promise in his Word. Can I get a witness in the house today? So if you're in his Word, you can't mess up a prayer, because your prayer is going to be thrust by the Word of God. And he says here that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So love is really the key that makes our faith and our prayers work. So God chose us to bear good fruit, number one. Bearing fruit in God puts us in a position for answered prayer, number two. And number three, bearing fruit is connected to abiding in God's love for others. Without love, we are bankrupt. And so we got to be rooted and grounded in God's love. So I love that. And I'm going to say this, fruit can be measured. I'm going to say it again. Fruit is measurable. And what do I mean by that? Well, in Mark 4:20, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And he's talking about the seed going in soil. And he talks about the good ground. Somebody say, I'm good ground.
I'm good ground.
You're good ground this morning. And you're good ground, and that's your heart of your soil. That means that you're receptive to the Word of God in your life. You want God's Word in your life. You want God's Word transforming you. You want God's Word making a difference in your life. That's why you're here this morning, because you love the Word of God. But it says here, but these are the ones who sow on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, how many people want to be 30-fold fruit-bearing Christians? How about 60? Who wants to be in the 100-fold class? Man, I got some takers this morning. I believe that we can pray, glory to God. 30-fold is not bad. That's good. If I'm in school, a C is okay, it's passable, and a B is better, amen. But I like A's. I like an A++. Amen. Glory to God. And some 100-fold. I want that A. Anybody who ever took classes, and I'm telling you, any competitive people out here, and I'm telling you, you want that A, don't you? You want to be on the dean's list, amen, where you can be on Jesus' list this morning. And you can be, and I believe that you can be, you can pray, and this is a prayer that you can pray. You can say it this way: Heavenly Father, I ask you to make me a 100-fold good fruit-bearing Christian in Jesus' name. Why not? Why can't we ask God to help us be a 100-fold good fruit-bearing Christian? What if you started praying a prayer like that every day? I'm telling you, you'd be going somewhere to happen, glory to God. I'm telling you, God would make your name great. Do you believe that today? I'm looking at some Billy Grahams out here, some future Billy Grahams out here, some Joyce Myers is out here. Hey, glory to God. And God is raising you up, glory to God, to be 100-fold good fruit-bearing Christians. Now, we talked about in the third session, give us this day our daily bread. And I believe that you can look at this in two ways, natural bread and spiritual bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to encourage you to get a God revelation, to pray and ask God to reveal himself to you in a greater way and a greater measure, glory to God. And I love this. And the way we get a fresh revelation, because God needs to be experienced.
Amen.
It's not just doctrine. It's not just teaching that gets you there. I want to experience God. I want a God touch in my life. I have a revelation of the greatness of God in my life. And if you start praying the Ephesian prayers, the prayers that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, and you start praying them every day, glory to God, for yourself and for your family, you're going to get revelation. You're going to get understanding of God's Word. You're going to grow in your faith. And really, the main thing we need to grow in is love. I'm going to say that again. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds up. Yes. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, glory to God. So I'm going to say this, and I'm working on my love walk myself. I'm trying to walk in more love, amen? And this is a great prayer. I'm just pulling just a little bit out of the Ephesian prayers that you should pray for yourself if you're dealing with any love issues. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, Ephesians 3:17-19, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and what is the length and depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So I love this prayer because we want to know and comprehend the love of God for us, amen, and understand the love of God for the body. And when we get a revelation of the love that God has for us and the love that he has for the body, I'm telling you, our faith will take wings and fly. Glory to God. Do you believe that today? Then talking about love, we talked about in Matthew 6:12, forgive us of our sins as we forgive our those who sin against us. This is powerful. So we talked about forgiveness of sins in this part, and it's all connected to us forgiving others. I'm going to say this, your forgiveness from God, and it all is connected to the love walk. Again, our prayer life is connected to love. Our faith life is connected to us walking in love. And when love is shut down in your life, your faith life is shut down, your prayer life is shut down. And so here in Mark 11:25, he says, whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. Now, I want to look at 1 Peter here, and I like this. It says, but the end of things is at hand. 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. But the end of things is at hand. We are in the end days, and people's love is growing cold. That's what the Bible says. People's love will grow cold in the end days, but that's not us. We're walking in greater love. And he says here, and then he says here, but the end of all things are at hand. And if they were at hand when Peter was writing this, how much closer are the end of all things are at hand now? In other words, we are in the last of the last days. Somebody say, pray up. We need to be prayed up because we're in the last of the last. If it was the last days then, just think how much more it's the last days today. Then he says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to be serious and watchful in our prayers. And above all things, have fervent love. There we go. There's love again. Fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, when I read that, you may think, well, my love will cover a multitude of other people's sins. No, it covers a multitude of your sins. In other words, when we're walking in love, and we're walking in love and forgiveness, glory to God, the sins that we commit, God's mercy is upon us. Amen. It will cover a multitude of our sins, glory to God. That's good news this morning. Because I don't know about you, but I need the mercy of God every day in my life because I'm not perfect. I wish I was. I hate missing it. You should hate if you make a mistake. You should not want to make mistakes. But you know what? The Bible says a good man, somebody say a good man, will fall seven times, but he will get back up. So you might just fall, but just get back up. Just get back up, amen? Brush yourself off, repent, get back on the horse, glory to God, and start riding for Jesus, glory to God. And then we talked about temptation last week. Lead us not in temptation. And I focus on one main scripture. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody say God's faithful. He's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with each temptation will always make a way of an escape. We discovered that every temptation is common, and the devil can't use supernatural tactics against the body of Christ. It's all common. We discovered last week that the common temptations that we deal with is with our eyes. Lust of the eyes. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach, I said last week. Lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the three key lusts that we have to deal with. The Bible says the eye never has enough. The envious eye never has enough, always wants more. So you don't want to have eye problems. Sometimes my kids have eye issues. I want this and I want that. And so we got to be very careful. And Jesus was tempted in all these areas, wasn't he? Amen. Jesus was tempted. When he was tempted with the lust of the eyes, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil wanted Jesus to bow down and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That was the lust of the eye. And Jesus said, get behind me, only worship God. And then Jesus was tempted with turning the stones into bread. That's the lust of the flesh. Glory to God. We got to be very careful. We got to control our flesh. We got to control the things that we deal with. Amen. I'm learning to eat a little slower. I'm finding that if I eat a little slower, I don't eat too much. I find when I gobble it down too fast, I'm gobbling a lot more than I need to. Amen. And then, can I get a witness in the house today? So that's a key trick for some of you that's watching your waistline. And then the pride of life. In other words, Jesus was tempted to to jump off the pinnacle. The pride, the angels of God will carry you. Amen. The pride. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. We don't tempt God. Amen. And so, you say, well, that was Jesus. He could overcome these sins of the flesh. Yeah, but Jesus was like a man, just like, people today. He was a man that laid down his glory and he walked by the power of the Holy Spirit and by obeying God the Father. He didn't come down here to do his will. So he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father. And he didn't have any special things but the Word of God to stand on. God is faithful. He will give you power to overcome temptation through prayer. Jesus is probably, I would say, one of his greatest temptations that Jesus ever dealt with was in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was when he was in the garden. And let's just read this account, because I believe that there was a temptation for Jesus to go a different way. Jesus was praying that God would give him a different route. And you know what? Jesus' flesh was working against him. And it says here, coming out, he went in the Mount of Olives, and he was accustomed, as it was his custom, talking about Jesus, Luke 22, 39, 40, working our way down. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to a place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. There we go. Prayer can keep us from temptation. Then he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down. Notice he knelt down in prayer. So not only can you kneel down in praise, but you can kneel down in prayer. And he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then this is interesting. The angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. That's powerful. Because I'm telling you, when you're dealing with great temptation in your life to go the wrong way, get on your knees, pray, and God may even send an angel to strengthen you. Amen. Glory to God. That's powerful. You say, well, that's Jesus. He was special. I'm going to say this. You're special too. Amen. You're children of God. God loves you. God doesn't want you entering into any temptation that will lead you to sin, that will eventually lead you to death. He doesn't want that in your life. And so if we bow down and we pray and we say, God, when we're dealing with temptations to go the wrong way, God can even strengthen us with an angel. Then, again, being in agony. Have you ever been in agony in prayer? Have you ever wrestled in prayer? Have you ever wrestled, feel like you've been wrestling and you're dealing with fears and frustrations and issues? He was in agony and he prayed more earnestly. Then he sweated, his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Think about that. That's intense prayer. That's intense. That was the warfare was so intense with Jesus. He could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him. He could have said, forget about mankind. I'm going back to the Father. Amen. But he didn't. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And this is powerful. You got to pray through. What do I mean by praying through? If you're dealing with issues in your life, whatever issue it is, get into your prayer closet and pray until the peace comes. Until the stress of that situation leaves, until that temptation goes, stay in prayer until you see a breakthrough. Breakthroughs are always made in your prayer time. The victory is always won or lost in prayer. Glory to God. And when he rose up in prayer in Luke 22:45, he had come to the disciples and found them sleeping with sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Glory to God. So this is a powerful account of Jesus entering into serious prayer. And the battle is always between the flesh and the spirit. The battle of winning over temptation and losing over temptation is won and lost in prayer. And this was one of Jesus' biggest tests, and he passed it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen? Now, today I want to focus on, Lord, deliver us from evil. We live in an evil world. Have you noticed that? And the devil is the god of this world system. Some people say, well, if God's in charge, why is all this bad stuff happening? Because God's not running this planet right now. The devil's running most of this planet. God's only running his church. I'm going to say it again. God is in the church, and he's running the church, and hopefully the church is making this planet better. Can I get a witness in the house today? Hopefully our lives are making other people better. Our prayers are making other people better. But God's not running this world system. That's why this world system is a mess. Have you noticed? Amen. There's not a lot of good things happening. Amen. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if the good news we preach, New Living Translation, is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Notice it says Satan, who's the god of this world. That's what we're honing in this morning. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So we see here that the devil's working. But I'm going to say this, God's working. And God's going to work through us to get Jesus to others. And the devil, what is the devil works? He works through corrupt governments. Can I get a witness in the house today? He works through false religions. He works through men's philosophies. He works through media, the news, the movies and books and music, through secular education to keep people from seeing the truth. That's what the devil's working through. But God's working through one source, and that's the church. And I'm telling you, the church is a glorious church, and we're going to get the gospel out to every tongue and tribe. I'm telling you, we're going to get it out. Hallelujah. And we're going to change this corrupt world system. We're going to turn this world upside down for Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? So I'm going to give you some good news this morning. The devil might be running a lot of this world, but the devil's not running you. I'm going to say that again. The devil has no power to run you. He might have some power to run corrupt governments, media, the internet, but he has no power to run you down the ground. Amen? Glory to God. You have power. And so there's some scriptures I want to talk to you about delivering us from evil. In Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Somebody say, no weapon,
no weapon
formed against me shall prosper. You got to believe that. And so the women, the devil uses weapons of thoughts. He wants to get into your thought life. And he wants you thinking the wrong things, speaking the wrong things, acting the wrong way. Amen? So this scripture right here gives us a fourfold promise of what God says in his word pertaining to evil. First of all, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's number one, no weapon. Number two, the accusation of the devil has no power over a believer in judgment. Somebody say, Jesus is my judge, not the devil. See, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he will try to accuse, and he accuses the saints of God day and night, the Bible says in the book of Revelation. But I'm telling you, it will not hold water. He accused Job of not being that right, and Job came out on top. He said Job would only be he wouldn't be serving you if you blessed him. That's the only reason why Job's serving you. I'm telling you, we don't serve God for the blessings. We serve God because he loved us and we love him. And if the blessings come, thank God for it. But that's not our main motivation. Our main motivation is because we love God, regardless of the blessings in our lives. And then it says here, we have power to condemn every evil word that comes against us. You have the power to condemn every evil word. And then it says, our righteousness comes from God. That means that he is our defender. Glory to God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, to deliver us from evil, one of my favorite psalms is Psalms 91. And I'm telling you, I heard a story of, I'm not too sure, it was in wartime, and this military sergeant was a Christian, and he had his people, they memorized Psalm 91 before they went out into enemy territory. And they would confess it every day, and they weren't losing any people. They weren't losing any people, and they kept confessing Psalms 91, and the divine protection of God was on these soldiers' lives. Glory to God. And so I'm saying this, you need to start confessing it. It says here in Psalms 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I like this because it says dwells. Are you dwelling in that secret place? Are you abiding in God? And he says here, this is powerful. When we dwell in God's presence, we're living a lifestyle of praise and worship and the Word, and God's presence and power will be manifested over our lives. Are you continually praising and worshiping God, or is it just a Sunday morning thing for you? I hope it's more than just Sunday morning. I hope God is 24/7 in your life. Then let's go on. He says, I say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. We must confess that God is our refuge and fortress. In our times of prayer, we must confess that God protects us no matter what. And he says, I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. You're talking about how big God is in your prayers. Surely he shall deliver you from the fowler and the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler, glory to God. Amen. I love that. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. That means that you don't get nervous at night. Amen. That means the devil likes to work at night. Have you ever noticed that? When you ever trying to get to sleep, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, and you're counting 1,000 sheep, and you can't seem to go back. The devil likes to work at night, amen. But you're not going to be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. Or we will not fear evil at night, nor bullets that are being fired towards us, because people don't shoot arrows these days; they shoot bullets. And I'm telling you, you are under God's protection. Amen. And Psalms 91:6 says, nor are the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Do not dread the disease. New Living Translation says this way. Do not dread the diseases that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. I love this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, with God, you'll beat the odds. Amen. Now, you might get a doctor's report, and they may say you have a disease, or you might have something. And they say, well, this takes out so many people. Most people die of this disease, not you. Right. Not you. It might take out 1,000, but it's not going to take out you, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Because with God, you can beat the odds. Can I get a witness now today? Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. The psalmist is going back saying, keep God in your life. Keep making him your refuge. Keep dwelling in his holy place. And then he says, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. Amen. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I'm going to say this morning. You have angelic protection. And you had angelic protection even before you got saved. Now that's the mercy and grace of God. Because some of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's angels watching over you. I'm going to say it again. Some of you would not be here if it wasn't for God's angelic angels watching over you. Some of you could have died in car accidents, could have died a thousand different ways, but God's hand is on your lives. I believe that. His hand is on your lives. You got to believe that. And so you got angelic protection. And then it says, you shall tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Well, I don't believe he's meaning physical lions and cobras. He's talking about spiritual wicked spirits in heavenly places. You have power over these demonic forces. And I love this because there's a qualifier. In 91:14, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Think about this. Do you love God? Have you set your love on God? Because you set your love on God, I think about Daniel. And Daniel prayed to God 3 times a day. Amen. And then there was a decree that he wasn't he was supposed to stop praying for 30 days. But he opened his windows and prayed anyway. He wasn't going to stop praying. He wasn't going to let the devil hinder him. And guess what happened to Daniel? He ended up in the lion's den. He ended up in the lion's den. But God protected him. Amen? Because why? Because Daniel set his love on God. And because Daniel set his love on God, God set his love back on Daniel. And if you put your love on God, guess what's going to happen? God's going to shower you with his love. Because your love, because our love is always conditional. God's love is unconditional. Amen? Glory to God. In other words, God's love is based on the blood of Jesus and us believing that. Amen? I love that. Our love towards God puts us in a position of deliverance and promotion. Psalms 91:15 says, he shall call upon me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. I love this because this Psalms 91 is powerful, and I want you to maybe start confessing this, maybe reading it even every day. Pastor, you're going a little bit too far this morning. You are challenging me too much. No, why don't you start reading this psalm every day and start believing that God can bless you and divinely protect you, glory to God. Amen. That Jesus, talk about Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter revealed to Jesus he was the Son of God, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to say this, that God's building his church this morning. He's building you, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you this morning. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. And then Jesus connects this about divine protection from the gates of hell. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And he says, the keys of the kingdom is whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. You got keys, and the keys is binding and loosing in prayer. And if you start binding the works of the devil in your life, they cannot operate against you or your family. You start loosing your angels, and they start working on your behalf. Can I get a witness in the house today? The Bible says in Psalms 103:20, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, doing his commands, hearkening to the voice of his word. When you speak God's words, angels go into action. Can I get a witness in the house today? Glory to God. I'm trying to close this out, man. Paul got a revelation of demonic warfare that we deal with. And in Ephesians, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, working our way down. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's a lot of wickedness. We wrestle against these things, but if we put on our armor, if we start putting on that armor of God, we'll be able to stand in that evil day. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may able to withstand in the evil day, having all done all, stand. Stand, therefore, girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen, because the devil's shooting fiery darts at us. Take the helmet of salvation and sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And I love that. So we see here the armor of God. We see here that we can put the armor of God on us to withstand the evils of the devil that's trying to come against us. We can gird our waist with truth. We can put on the breastplate of righteousness because we are the righteousness of God. We can put on our shoes of peace. We are peacemakers in God. We always promote peace and not division. We take up the shield of faith, and that faith shield blocks every evil, fiery missile of the evil one. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, we take the helmet of salvation because our salvation is in Jesus and our faith is in the blood. And we get the and we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that sword of the Spirit will cut the devil in two. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. A two-edged sword. God's word cuts both ways. Amen. And that's powerful. And so I like the last part of this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the last part of the armor, I call it the javelin, amen, personally, it's the power of prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying and being watchful to the end with all perseverance. I want to encourage you to take all the parts of the Lord's Prayer and start praying them diligently, yes, every day. I'm challenging you this morning. Start praying them diligently every day and watch things start changing in your life. Watch God start moving in your family. Watch God start moving in your neighborhood. I'm telling you, it won't be long until we pray enough people into the kingdom until Jesus comes back. And I believe that we have a part to play in the end times, and we're going to be prayer warriors, and we're going to continue to pray no matter what. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, for those that are listening and watching. And perhaps you've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. Well, today is a day of salvation. And I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just say this and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home so that you can grow in your faith and become all that God wants you to become. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.